Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I love the series that we're in right now. Just one message after another about words that matter. You know, if God was to play words with friends and you were His friends, what would be His favorite words? What are God's favorite words? What are the big things to God? And I think it's so important that we discover that. We want to be able to learn what's important to Him is important to us. We sang a song, and one of the lines in it is this idea of break my heart for the things that break your heart. What is that saying? What matters to you needs to matter to me. And I want to know what that is. And so there are important words all throughout Scripture, words that you see over and over again that are mentioned hundreds and hundreds of times. The first week we talked about love, L-O-V-E. If you're here for the first time, we covered love. And then last week we kind of had a spontaneous worship time, but the whole idea was about Jesus. Jesus, who is Jesus? Jesus as the Son of God. We know He's a great teacher, and we know that He was a miracle worker. But at the end of the day, the Bible talks about we must believe He is the Son of God. That's what makes Him different than all the others who proclaim deity. Jesus is the Son of God, the only Son of God. So we talked about Christ. So if you were not here, we talked about Jesus. Today I want to talk for a few minutes about a word you see from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. You see this word, and it's the word first. 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 Over and over again, God talks about first and what first means to you and I. So let's talk about that. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for all that You're doing in our life, and we just take time to lean in. Lord, there are many distractions. And if we chose to, we could fog out the whole service, work on our phone, email, text, check Twitter, all these things. But Lord, I just pray that for a few minutes You will captivate our hearts, because we need more of You. We're quick to realize that we've not arrived. We're not there yet. We want to be a better husband. We want to be a better student. We want to be a better follower. We want to be more devoted. So Lord, I just pray that you'd just talk to us for a few minutes as we stay focused on You. Lord, what would it mean in our life, and what would our life look like if You were first in every area of our life? We love You, we love You, we love You. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. Why don't you turn to that person next to you and say, I've not arrived yet. Now look at the other person you don't want to talk to and say, and I know you've not arrived. Didn't you enjoy that? You always enjoy part two better than part one. First. It's a cool word. Something special about being first. It's great when you're picked first. It's great to win first place. I love when you get thought of first, or you're the first person that someone goes to with some really cool news. Like, we're pregnant, or we're getting married, or I just got a job, or I'm moving, or I got a scholarship. All these different things. It's great to be in the first of someone's circle, the first friend, the first person that you go to. You just love knowing something as it relates to first. A lot of our memories that as we get older that are kept intact, there's a lot of memories we don't remember as we age, but a lot of times the ones that we remember are the first in our life. A lot of times first is the thing that helps us to remember moments in our life that we have that are meaningful to our family. It's great when someone refers to you in front of somebody else as first. Like, you know, this is, you know, one of my, you know, we would say like our best friend, or this is one of the greatest friends I've ever had. And, you know, it feels good to be placed in a priority or in that place in life. It's important. It's an impact. It's big. In the Bible, the word is everywhere. Did you know that in the King James Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the word first appears over 568 times? A whole lot more than a lot of words we talk about. There's a whole lot more words that we communicate as big and large, and we ring the bell, the spiritual, the religious bell, and they're not even mentioned near as many times as first. Several years ago, Pastor Chris Hodges, who is a great pastor, pastors Church of the Highlands in Birmingham. I'll be going up there this week to spend some time with him, and also Billy Hornsby, who is his father-in-law, who's fighting cancer right now. And we're just praying for him. He's there at UAB Hospital, and we were there this week. Going to go back this week to spend time for him. He's kind of been our lead person for our church planning around the globe. And so we're going to go spend some time with him. But Pastor Chris is a great friend. He's a great friend to our church. He helps provide leadership for us as a church. But he preached here a message several years ago, and it's interesting. We didn't even talk about it because, people come, you preach whatever God lays on their heart. And so he came, and I didn't even ask him about what he was preaching about. He got up and did his introductions, he said, I'm only going to share for a few minutes. Matter of fact, he preached 20 minutes. Four of them were introduction. 16 minutes. 16-minute sermon. How many are like, I'm moving to Birmingham? 16-minute sermon. 16 minutes. He preached on the tithe. The tithe. Now, when he got in the pulpit, he said, I want to talk about tithing. Now, immediately, that's a buzzword, because most people hear that word and they begin to immediately start tracking where that's going. Tracking. You start imagining, you start thinking, oh, okay. You can have preconceived ideas. Oh, it's church. Of course he's going to preach on tithe. Pastor must have met with him beforehand and said, our tithe's low. Can you help me out, my brother? Really didn't happen. So there's all these thoughts about tithing. Everybody's gears start turning. But he made a statement that I believed shifted many of our thinking. And I really believe that as I've read it and studied it more and more over the years and listened to his heart and what I felt like the Lord was using, it really helped me to relate it to another hold. I so enjoy talking about it, because what he talked about is tithing, not in the relationship to money, but tithing in the relationship to God first. That tithing is really not about money. Tithing is more about first. Who's first in your life? Because God is not after our money. Anybody who thinks that, they don't understand the Bible. Anybody who thinks tithing is about money, they've never read Scripture. It's just plain and simple. The more you read Scripture, I'm talking about from cover to cover, 568 times the word first is mentioned. It's about putting God first. And that's one of the areas we can do that in. And then God talks about our time and our talent and our energy and our passion and our commitment. And he made a statement that I wanted to share with you, because I think it's a statement that you can find real freedom in. And because if we just make it about money, then if we're not careful, we begin to start thinking things that we shouldn't think about. And if we're not careful, we could start moving into being stingy. Think, God just wants my money. Can I tell you right now, God is not trying to get our stuff so that he can have a garage sale, so that he can improve heaven. Could I have an amen? He doesn't need all that. What he wants is our heart. He wants to be first in our life. Here's a statement Chris made. Tithing has actually nothing to do with money. See, what God wants is something much different than that. He wants to be first. That stuck out. That just stuck out in my heart. I mean, when you hear that message, he wants to be first. That's so different than what a lot of times what we hear about tithing. We hear the word tithing, there can be a turnoff, there can be a, okay, where are we going with this? But when you hear it like that, when he said that tithing is about first, it made me sit on the edge of my seat, because I said, I want to discover that. Why? Because in my intent and in my intention, I want God to be first in my life. That's the idea I have. That's kind of the desire of where I'm at in my life right now. It's not true in every area, but that's where I want to go. I want God to be first in my life. I want to be a God first person. I want to be a God first husband. I want to be a God first dad. I want to be a God first pastor. I want to be a God first church. I want to be a God first people. I just want to be God first. I want to be God first. So I want to dive into some scriptures. We just lay a little biblical foundation. Just lay a bed of biblical foundation. If you don't have biblical foundation, then we're just telling stories. And this is not story time. Can I have an amen? This is, what is God saying to us? So we're going to lay a biblical foundation, and then I'm going to do some simple life-changing, I believe, application. Here's the first scripture, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. One of the first places in scripture you see this idea of first. First. Words that matter. First. Genesis chapter 4, this is the story of Cain and Abel. Adam laid with his wife Eve as she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks. He was a shepherd. Cain worked the soil. He was a farmer. In the course of time, this is very important. That phrase is very important. In the course of time, Cain brought some of, everybody say some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. So they were bringing offerings to the Lord. So Abel was keeping flocks. Cain was a farmer. So he brought some of the fruits in the course of time. But Abel, look at the difference, brought fat portions from some of his firstborn of his flock. Firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Cain is there and Cain is a farmer. And so the Bible says that he gathers just some of his stuff. And then when it came time during the course of time, kind of almost like when he got around to it, just kind of indifferent about this whole offering thing. Just kind of, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Just kind of gathered and brought that to the Lord. But then Abel sits and as a shepherd, he looks around and says, I want to bring something of my firstborn from the very beginning, the first of my harvest, the first of my livestock, the first of our crop. I want to bring God something that's from my first. Well, God only accepted one of the offerings. One was accepted, one was not. They were both an offering. What's interesting to me is I've always thought that the only reason God accepted the lamb and not the fruit was because the lamb costs more. It was more of a sacrifice. It was bloodshed. We understand that in the Old Testament. And I think that's part of it. But I do not believe that's the only reason. I believe one of the reasons why God accepted Abel's above Cain was because the whole idea of Abel gave first to God. He gave God first. He wasn't indifferent. It wasn't like I'll get around to it. It was a priority in his life that when he received, he immediately looked to God who he knew provided. I think Cain just kind of thought, I'll get around to it. But Abel understood first. Tells you a couple insights about this idea of first. Here's the first one. God doesn't want one out of ten. He wants the first of. It's a real important principle to understand. We just don't gather some stuff together and somewhere along the line we just say, well, let me just give you. We talk about tithe being a tenth. But it's not about just, okay, I've got, you know, ten M&Ms and I'm going to give God one of them. God says, I don't want one of them. I want the first of them. I want the first of them. Because it says something about our relationship. We're going to get to that. God says, give me the first one. Here's a second scripture in Matthew chapter 22. They gather around Jesus and they say, tell us about all these commandments. Tell us about all these rules and regulations that they've imposed on people. And Jesus says, let me sum this whole thing up to you. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus says, above all else, put God first. The first is loving God, number one. Loving God first. If you want to live a blessed life, if you want me to put my hand upon you, and if you want to be used by me, then you need to make sure that you love me first. There are no other loves that are before me. And then there's another scripture in Revelation chapter 2. So we started at the beginning of the Bible. We've called a scripture in the middle with Christ. Now we're finishing up in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. This is when Jesus is giving a message to the church. And he's visiting those seven churches. And he goes to the first of that, Ephesus, which was one of the largest, most influential churches back in those times in Asia Minor. At the beginning of the Christian church. And Jesus looks at the church and says, there's some great things that you're doing. But there's one thing I have against you. We see this here in Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. The seven golden lampstands were a type of church. He says, I know your deeds. He's speaking to the people. I know your deeds. He knows what's going on. Your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and you found them to be false. You've persevered. You've endured hardships for my name, and you've not grown weary. So he encourages them. He acknowledges what they've done great. But then he says, yet I hold this against you. Jesus, I'm holding this against you. You have forsaken, you have left your first love. You've left your first love. What do we do? Remember the height. I love that word. Remember the height from which you have fallen. What do you do when you remember that you've fallen? What do you do when you know you've made a mistake or you've sinned? Look what the Bible says. Repent. And do the things you did at first. Go back to first love. Go back to your early love. Since you've done some things well. By doing things well, you've still gotten familiar. You've left the simple, radical faith and fire that you had at the beginning of our relationship. And you've gotten learned, and you've gotten a little cynical, and you've just gotten extremely smart, and you've just gotten a lot of knowledge, but you have left the fire of that radical, passionate, unrelentless faith in me. Get it burning again. Go back and let the fire of your early love burn in your heart. Ties into Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added into your life. That word seek means seek and keep seeking. So the Bible is telling us that we are to seek God as our first love, as our preeminent love, and we're not to let it drain. We're not to let it, you know, move from being first, that we're to keep seeking him first and stay first, that he can't just be a part of the list where he moves up and down the list like a BCS ranking. Okay, he's third, he's fifth, he's eighth. Okay, well, we did good this weekend. He's two. Maybe hopefully by the end of the year, if he's really blessed my life, I may make him the national championship of my life for about 9 months. He ought to be happy with that. So that's what happens. And we start moving God, and we start moving his plan and his precious son and the precious Holy Spirit up and down the list, just based on what's happening in our life. I love how John Ortberg, he gives this analogy. So many of us have grown up hearing that this should be the order of importance on our to-do list. God, family, church, work, then on and on. But really, this is completely wrong. Because God should be first in every part of our life. Really, God should be the piece of paper we put the to-do list on. He isn't something we should even put on a to-do list. Our to-do list belongs to him. Everything we do should be about him. We spend time with our family. If we spend time with family, we should be putting him first by honoring our wife. When we go to our job, we should be putting him first by being honest. He should be first in every area of our life. Jesus screams in the most loving, compassionate way to us, love me first, love me first, love me first. Love me first. A biblical foundation. We could talk about it all day long. All the first in scripture. Everything that God requires as it relates to his people putting him first. Why? Because it says something. It says something. When we tithe, it says something. When we honor God first, it says something. Now I want to break this down into three simple principles. We'll wrap it up with three simple principles. And I believe these principles, if you get a hold of them for 2011, I believe this with all my heart, they can transform your life. I believe they can transform. They can bring a freedom into your life of trust and security and assurance about the future. Here's the first thing, and it's real simple. God must, and I use that word must, God must be first. He will never settle for second. He never looks and says, okay, I'm second in their life. I'm great with that. That's a fantastic thing. Less than number one doesn't work. Why? Because he's a jealous God. You know, the Ten Commandments that God gives the children of Israel, which makes them unique from all the other people when he gave them to them. Do you know what the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? You shall love the Lord your God. What? First, you shall not put any other God before him. He's a jealous God. You shall have no other God before me. First command of the Ten Commands. The first of the ten. Remember how he talked about the first of the ten is saying, God, you are first and you're not second in my life. See, well, here's what first says. Remember this. If you don't get anything today, remember this. First says faith. If I'm putting you first, then that means I'm exercising my faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we put God first in our finances, first with our time, first with our devotion. We're operating in faith, and faith pleases God. Because even like when we give our tithe, God says, I want it to be first. Giving to the church is not about paying a bill. It's not about paying an invoice. When you give to the church, or you give your tithes, you give your offerings, what are you doing? You're exercising faith. That you're giving your resources to God Almighty, believing that he's going to use it and make a great difference. And he's also going to transform our heart during the meantime. He wants to be first. I'll tell you, let me break it down this way for you. I mean, I'm all that. Delenn's crazy about me. It's crazy. Just heads up. And so when Delenn and I talk, and I'm like, what's up, girl? What's happening? And sometimes I'll try to encourage her. And, you know, we'll talk, and I'll compliment her. What's up, girl? What's your name? I love always say, what's your name? What's your name? I always mess with her like that. What's your name, girl? Where are you from? Who's your people? I just mess with her. And, you know, what's up? I'm right here. Talk to me. So I try to say some things to Delenn. You're so pretty. I love your hair. I love your outfit. Oh, my gosh. And just talk about things like that. You know, and then what happens is a lot of times I'm waiting for the feedback. What's up, girl? I mean, out of all the girls, you're the finest. Out of all the girls, you're the best. I mean, you are number one. I mean, forever and always. Now, as I'm talking to her like that, what's up? What's your name? And if she came back to me and said, I love you so much. Out of all the, 4.4 million people that live in the state of Louisiana, and out of the 2.2 million men that are in this state, you are number two. That ain't going to work. I will not be number two. I mean, I know that spiritually speaking, there's a man she loves more than me, and that is Jesus. But other than him, ain't nobody else. Our marriage would not work. If she constantly told me, you are number two, you are number two, I can imagine saying, girl, I'll tell you right now, you're so pretty. Out of all the 2.2 million girls in Louisiana, you're the second prettiest girl I know. She'd say, what's her name? Where she lives? I'm a herder. It won't work. There's not a marriage in here. There's not a, ain't no fiance going to say, I'll be number two forever. No, you won't. No, you won't. So if it's not going to work in our marriage, if it's not going to work in our relationships, why would we ever think that God wants to be number two? Is anybody hearing me today? Can I have a better amen? Think about it. Why would he ever say, I'm good with it. I'm okay with your truck being in front of me. I like the truck too. He wouldn't say that. He's not going to do that. Because then by being second, we're not exercising any faith. He's no longer first in line for faith. He is now second in line for faith. God must be first. Here's the second principle. And I'm going to make it personal to us as a church. To make God first, you give him first of everything. If you say, well, I want God to be first in my life. Then you make God first in everything in your life. He's just first. He demands first. He loves the firstborn. He loves the first fruit. He loves the first of our day. Get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Love you. Listen to a little worship music. Read a Bible. Read a scripture. You pray. Why? Because you're saying first at the very beginning of this morning, I love you. I mean, you think about Sunday. A lot of times we think Sunday is the end of the week. Look at your calendar. Sunday is not the end of the week. Sunday is the beginning of the week. We are starting our week out in God's house. Because we believe if we give him the first day, he's going to help us out this week. That's why it's so important. We just don't. It's a commitment. We made a commitment to him. It's the first. Why do we fast in January? We're giving him the first of our year. We don't fast in February. We feast in February. We don't fast in March. We meet in March. But I'm going to tell you, in January, a lot of you fasted this year. You went 21 days, you fasted something. Why? Because you're saying at the beginning of 2011, Lord, you are first this year. So I may have some things happen this year. I need you in my life. I love the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. So you honor God with your wealth, our blessings. All of us have been blessed. And how do you honor God with your blessing? Is you give him first, the first fruits of your increase, of your resources. Here's my prayer for us this year. If you said, you know, what will this year look like as it relates to giving? And if you come to our church, I'll communicate this to you. I'll just take time. Maybe you're a visitor, and I just want to share kind of where we're at right now as a church. Here's my desire for our church this year. My desire is that you and I let God be first in our resources. And that everyone takes the journey of tithing first to God. Not just saying, here's my income, and God, you'll get this, and you'll get this later on. But right from the very beginning of our resources, a lot of you have been through some things this year. I talked to somebody that lost a home. I've talked to several people who in their life right now, they've been through a lot of financial hardships, been through some tough times. And the person was even telling me, he said, you know what? Even in the tough times, I have realized that God Almighty has sustained me. And he said, you know what? I've realized that if God sustains me during the tough times, I need to make sure that I'm surrendered during the good times. Oh, come on, somebody. That happens in life. What is he saying? I want God to be first in my life. I want God to be first. That's my prayer for our church this year. Is that all of us go on the journey together to tithe. Tithe first. Just give to God. As a church, what would our church be if every single person in our church put God first in their finances? Said, I'm going to give to God first. I'm going to tithe to God. I'm going to tithe this year. Now, maybe you're here and you've never done that. Maybe you're a single mom or you just never really understood that. You've thought about that and it's just there's been these thoughts and maybe there's even feelings of disappointment in your life or, there's been this whole crazy teaching that it's always about money and you give to get and all that kind of crazy stuff. But can I tell you, that's not the Bible. We give to worship and honor God. That's out of our heart. It's just honor to God. And here's what I believe. Here's what I'm praying. That all of us at every age, we just go on the journey to tithe. You say, well, I've done that inconsistently. Well, why couldn't we just in your own heart say, I'm going to give consistently this year? Or you know what? I've never done anything like that. I wouldn't even know what that looks like. Why don't begin and start? So that's my prayer is that all of us together would tithe. We'd put God first in our finances. Just so you'll know, what do we feel like God's saying to us this year? The second thing is that we would be led by the Holy Spirit as it relates to offerings. Now, we're a church that we talk a lot about being kingdom builders. And several years we've made commitments or pledges to kingdom builders. We're not going to do a pledge this year. I just felt in my heart that's just not what the Lord wanted to do. And so, you know, you say, well, what do we do about offerings? Because many of you tithe. And you say, well, I'm a tither, man. I'm all about that. What do we do about offerings? I believe the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. And here are the things we're going to do. We're going to receive end of the month kingdom builder offerings still. 10 of them this year. We're going to start in February, end up in November. So what about January and December? I want you to know what's going on. In January, we're not going to receive an extra offering because you've already given so much. You've given to Chris Kane as it relates to human trafficking. You've given to Matthew Barnett, who's building a great dream center in L.A. You helped plant a church in New York City with Hillsong. You've already given. So, I mean, we've met needs. I mean, it's just incredible. Throughout the next 10 months, we'll receive a kingdom build offering. All that's going to go towards the poor and missions and things that we're doing around the world. And at the end of the year, we'll receive what we call our miracle offering, just a year-end offering like we just did in December. And that's going to go towards the principle of this building. We want to pay down this building. And I believe that if all of us tithe and all of us continue to listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to do that more this year. And also, we'll be able to help the least and the lonely and the forgotten even more. You say, well, what do I do about my kingdom builder commitment? because it's a year commitment. Here's what I'm doing. I'm going to continue to give mine because I want to do everything I can to expedite in decreasing the principal of this building. So some of you have made commitments, some of you have never given, and I want to encourage you to do the same. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. The Holy Spirit's going to talk. And I'll explain this even more the next couple of weeks. There'll be questions. What about this? What about that? I want to be real clear. I want everyone to understand kind of what this year looks like as it relates to our storehouse and giving. As it relates to giving. People of the tithe. All of us kind of growing up in that area. And then giving offerings as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, to the poor and missions. And then in our own commitment way, in our own way, continuing to give so that we can continue to make a difference in our community. Now here's the third thought, and I'll finish up with this. First one is God must be first. Here's the second one. To take God first, you got to give him everything. And then the last thing is this, that the power of the first at work, when it's at work in our life, blesses the rest of our life. That's what God does for us. You say, well, I've made this commitment. What does God do? You know what God says? When you give me the first of your day, I'm going to bless the rest of your day. When you give me the first of your week, I'm going to bless the rest of your week. When you give me the first of your income, I'm going to bless the rest of your income. When you give me the first of your time and you give me time and you take time to care about somebody, you don't get so busy that you don't keep your head on swivel to the needs around you, I'm going to bless the rest. You know, the other Wednesday morning, I went to a Bible study, and I'm only sharing this because I saw this at work in my own life. I went to the Bible study. I had a lot going on that day, and I had some meetings that were important meetings that I wanted to kind of, you know, you wanted to do right in the meeting. You wanted to make the right decision. I don't know if you ever go into a meeting. It's like, oh, I really want to, you know, do the right thing. I want to have some wisdom. I don't want to be a jughead and just, you know, mess up the meeting or say something crazy. And that was on me that day. I said, I want to have good meetings today. And then I just want to have a good day. And I went to this Bible study, and I was leaving the Bible study, and I was in a hurry, 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 hurry. And as I was hurrying out the door, I heard two girls, never seen before, but I thought I saw them in the Bible study. They were coming down the elevator. They were in the elevator. I was on my phone. I was hurrying. And I heard them over. They were discussing breakfast, which I was fasting. So I got hungry as they were talking about going to McDonald's. I could smell that Egg McMuffin. It showed up in the elevator. And I even thought, God, they're going to McDonald's. Spiritual. And as I started to leave, they were going this way. I felt like the Lord said, buy them breakfast. I'm like, buy them breakfast? I want to eat breakfast. So I don't even know them. I mean, I'm going to walk across the parking lot and hand these strange girls $20. I mean, is that the right thing to do as a pastor? I mean, I start justifying all this stuff. I mean, $20 is a lot of money. I mean, I could 15, they could get breakfast. I'm giving them a $5 tip. I mean, come on. I'm all the way to my car, and the Lord just said, I just was on me like, wah! Okay. Excuse me. The girls look at me like, I said, I know this sounds crazy. I'm supposed to buy you breakfast. And they were like, we were just counting up our change to see if we could split a value meal. I was like, well, I mean, glory. I said, well, I'm supposed to buy you breakfast today. God bless you. I'm not telling you that because of, because there's a lot of times I don't do that when I'm prompted to. There's more that I don't do than I ever do. So I'm not celebrating what I've done. I'm telling you, thank God I was finally obedient to the dozens of times he tries to prompt my heart and I ignore him or I am distracted. But when I got in the car, I felt like the Lord just kind of said, I'm going to be with you today. And it's not because you're smart. It's not because you're the pastor. It's not because of all those things. It's because of those two little girls that matter to me. I told myself, well, God bless you. Jesus loves you. And, oh, yeah, he loves me. He loves my Egg McMuffin, too. When you put God first, he blesses the rest. Love me first. Love me first. Love me first. There used to be this comedian group called Abbott and Costello. and they tell this whole thing that's a round robin thing. It's who's on first, what's on second. I thought, what was on second? Who's on first? What's on first? And I thought about that this morning. Here's the question today before we close. Who's on first? Who's on first in your life?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.